Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this last Sunday of September, but a very fall feeling day. But it's good to have you here. The sun shines out. It's nice and bright. It's good to be coming to God's house today for worship. So a special welcome to those who are visiting today, and if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after this service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is directly behind the sanctuary. Today's a very special coffee hour. All hands in the ministry there is providing the coffee hour and with some special coffee for us to enjoy. There's more information printed on the back page of the bulletin about the ministry of All Hands In. And the director, Barbara Anderson, and her husband, Phil, are here today, and we'll be hearing from Barbara a little later in the service about this ministry. But do invite you to stay after the service for a few moments to enjoy some refreshments. Also, you'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. Not reading it to you, just calling your attention to the activities. Do want to point out also another announcement that we are scheduling a service of believers' baptism later this fall. And if anyone or you know of someone who is interested, to please have them contact me as soon as possible so that we may begin that process. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 316 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading selected verses from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. And let us read responsively from God's holy word. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death.
Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires.
Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires.
The mind of sinful man is death.
The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace.
If Christ is in you, your spirit is alive because of righteousness. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live.
Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
Our opening hymn this morning is We Come, O Christ, to You, number 129. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Oh, my friend.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you call each of us by name and set us on this journey of life together. Grant that we will hear when you call us to new destinations and challenging possibilities. Give us the courage to follow the one you sent to lead us. Inspire us by the faithful testimony of that great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. We pray through Jesus Christ, who is our way, our truth, and our life. We now pray together the prayer he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Since I see no younger children here in the sanctuary this morning for worship, I'm going to segue from our children's moment into a mission moment, and I'm going to invite Barbara Anderson to come forward at this time to share about All Hands in Ministry. And then, Rosalind, I'm not sure if the older teenage girls want to go out later or not, but there are a couple here that may want to go to Sunday school, but after our mission moment.
Okay, good morning, everybody. First, on behalf of All Hands In, I want to thank First Baptist Malden for your continued support of All Hands In. Your missions committee has made us a part of their mission giving over the past couple of years. All Hands In is a local organization based in Arlington, and we work on local issues of human trafficking. You may say, human trafficking, that's as an issue overseas, that happens over there. Well, it happens right here in our own backyard. And we've been working with survivors and doing a lot of educational and awareness events to let people know it's happening right here in Massachusetts. Last weekend, we had our annual survivors retreat that we call Sanctuary by the Sea. And we served over 8 survivors on a weekend retreat where we gave them a safe place to continue to heal and to grow spiritually with the Lord. This morning we are doing a coffee hour for you to share a coffee that we sell called Lana Coffee. Well, Lana Coffee was started by an American Baptist missionary, Mike Mann, over in Thailand to work with the hill tribes in Thailand so that they could support their families. But not only do they support their families and have clean water in their villages, by doing this, it helps them so that they no longer sell their daughters into slavery down in Bangkok. So there's so many ways that we can help support the issue of human trafficking through fair trade and other things. So I just want to say thank you again for having us this morning, and I look forward to chatting with you later.
Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for Barbara and Phil coming today, and we learning a little bit more about All Hands In and ministry. And yes, while we often believe that human trafficking is something overseas, open our eyes, God, to what's going on in our own communities and help us to recognize where there are issues like human trafficking and slavery and unfair wage practices and unfair treatment of human beings taking place in our own neighborhoods. Lord, we pray that you will bless Barbara's ministry and bless us as we continue to pray for and contribute to and share the good news of All Hands In Ministry with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And teachers and students may go to their class at this time. We do come to a time of sharing our celebrations and our concerns with each other before going to God in prayer. And we want to continue to remember Helen Fleet. I mentioned last week that Helen had was in rehab, and I did see her this week, that her hip replaced hip, the ball had come out of the socket and had to be put back together. She is in rehab right now, trying to strengthen some of the muscles around that area so that hopefully it will not happen again. If it does, she'll have to have surgery. So we want to keep Helen Fleet in prayer. Irene is here today, Irene Hoffman, but I know a lot of back pain and struggling, so we want to keep Irene in prayer, trying to get into a surgeon, I think undergoing some physical therapy as well. So I want to keep Irene in prayer and just grateful that she is able to be here today, but knowing that she is in quite a bit of pain. Also, we want to keep May Upperman in prayer as May continues to be at home, struggling with the ability to swallow. And Naomi is here today. Naomi was hospitalized for a couple days this week, too, but she's doing well. And we celebrate with Joy and Joe Reardon on the birth of their daughter, Amelia Rose, on Wednesday morning at 8:27. She was 6 pounds and 9.5 ounces. And well, the family's doing well, and hopefully will be coming home today from the hospital. So we want to celebrate with the Reardon and Nowak and Lanton family today in the birth of Amelia Rose. And do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns? Naomi. That's great. We've been praying for your boyfriend's mom, who is Mexican, I believe, and has been out of the country because of immigration issues, but now has apparently those are being worked out and will be able to come back in the States in November. So we celebrate that, and I'm sure he's very happy to have his mom back. Anyone else have a prayer request this day? Irene.
So very close.
A friend of Irene's has some very serious health issues, may have cancer of the pancreas, and so we want to pray for Irene's friend today. Anyone else have a prayer? Betty. Betty's nephew, William, who has been diagnosed with some health issues that I think they're probably working on now to determine exactly what course of treatment will be going on. So we want to lift up William in prayer. Anyone else?
Don't look that old, Steve.
Yeah,
Steve's oldest children, Tricia's going to turn, we will turn 32 on Friday, and your son is turning 30 today. Turning 30 today, so some birthdays in the Butlin family. We celebrate that. We celebrate that. Anyone else have a prayer request? Dindam. Wow, Dindam's going to be a published author on research he was doing this summer. So we that's a real celebration, Dindam. That's great. Wonderful. Anyone else? If not, then let's go to God. Lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, you are a God of all seasons. And as we've rapidly transformed from warm summer-like weather to cool fall-like temperatures, Lord, we're mindful of the changing seasons as we begin to see changes in the colors of the leaves and the dormancy of our lawns beginning to begin, even though they've been very dry this summer. But Lord, in changes in the nature that we're seeing, we recognize that you are unchanging, that you are constantly there for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are continually there for us, on call, on duty, ready to respond to us whenever we call out to you. Lord, we lift up to you this day those we've mentioned who are ill. Just pray for your healing touch in their lives according to your will for them. Lord, we also pray for those who are in mourning today, if they have lost a loved one and sensing an emptiness in their heart. We just pray, O God, that your Spirit may fill that. Lord, the news has been filled with accounts of shootings around our nation again this week. We lift up the families that have been involved, of those who have been injured or killed, as well as those who have fired the weapons. In some instances, Lord, they have been police officers who have fired the guns. And Lord, we thank you for those that are willing to protect us. And we know that they are only human. And Lord, we lift up those who do swear to protect us. We know that's not an easy job, and we just pray, O God, for those who have been involved in shootings this week. Just pray that there may be calmness in their communities, that the truth may come out, that justice may prevail in those communities. Lord, we understand that, you know, justice is wanted. But Lord, we pray that no one will be penalized unjustly for those issues. Lord, as we think of that, we also recognize the flooding that people are recuperating from, as well as wildfires. Lord, there's so much going on in our country that we just lift them up to you now. We also pray for our world, O God, where there is fighting, where there is war and bloodshed. And we do pray for peace in our world, O God. We know that we tend to be a warring people, yet we don't know exactly how to get along with each other when we don't agree. We have difficulty agreeing to disagree. Lord, we also pray for our nation as, you know, political process continues and a debate tomorrow night, O God, and we just lift up the candidates to you. And Lord, we pray that as voters that we may have wisdom to select the best candidate. Some of us have our decisions made and we've made up our mind, and others are still undecided or sitting on the fence. God, we just pray for wisdom in this very important process of selecting our next nation's leader. Lord, we also again lift up the ministry of All Hands In and pray for those persons who are involved in human trafficking, those who are in slavery today, and just thank you that this ministry is able to support some of those who have been caught up in this issue. Lord, we realize that it's not as far away as we may wish. And Lord, we just pray for those, you know, again, that are involved in the ministry, that they may reach out and educate others, that we too may become more aware of what's going on in our neighborhoods. Lord, we lift all of these things now up to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We can worship God in many different ways, in many different places. This morning, we have an opportunity to worship God through our tithes and our gifts. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray together. Lord, we offer these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we join in the wonderful chorus of praising you with all that we have. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. Dorothy Berry will be reading scripture this morning.
Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, reading from verses 5 to 25. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip said, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was come great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, ye may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. This is the word of the Lord.
Gracious and loving God, we have just read and heard from your holy word some of the exciting things that were taking place in the early church, how your spirit was moving among and with people, and how the disciples were ministering in your name and with power. Lord, how we might want some of that power ourselves and be amazed. Lord, this day we pray that your spirit will be upon us and move among us, that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that may help us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wanted something so much that you could almost taste it or smell it or feel it even before you touched it? Have you ever wanted something so desperately that you were willing to pay whatever was the asking price? The sky was the limit. My father owns two non-refurbished 1929 Model A Fords. And for many years, one of them was parked in our front yard. Growing up, I remember many people stopping by our house, often at dinner time, to ring the doorbell and ask if the car was for sale. My father would respond, "No." Yet some of them didn't seem to hear him, for they would make an offer. He would tell them, "The car is not for sale." Some people still didn't get his message, for in a few months, they would return and make another offer. The car has always been in my father's family, and his dream was to restore it when the time, perhaps in his retirement, that he would be able to do that. No monetary price could or can be placed on the value the car has for him. There's a character in the Bible who reminds me of those people who stopped to inquire about my father's old cars. His name is Simon. We've met him in Scripture this morning. Simon was a famous sorcerer, as the King James describes him, or magician, as some other translations have it. And He was impressed with the miracles he saw the early disciples perform. He had been around the world of magic for a long time, but what the disciples were doing was the biggest thing he had ever seen. He was already famous and wealthy, but he knew that if he could acquire this act, there would be no limit to his power and his fame. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we read about the disciple named Philip, who had traveled north from Jerusalem to the city of Samaria where Simon lived. Philip proclaimed the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. People heard that, believed the message, repented, and accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The paralyzed and lame were healed. Everywhere it was evident that something was happening. Simon, the sorcerer or magician, noticed all of this and wanted to have some of this power that Philip had. To understand Simon, we need to understand that magic was seen as a vastly different perspective in the ancient world. We think of magic as something to mystify and entertain, and we often don't take it too seriously. In the ancient world, magic was taken very seriously. Primitive people have believed in white magic, which was beneficial, and black magic, which was evil, sinister, and destructive. And not only was Simon a magician, but he was also tremendously successful in his field. Simon was a real spellbinder. He was one of those convincing speakers, one of those dynamic personalities whom, if we listened to too long, we would find ourselves believing. We might think of some of the magicians we have today, and we think, how does he do that, or how does she do that? When Simon the magician announced that he had accepted Christ and received baptism, it created quite a stir in that city. Many Samaritans were turning to Christ, but Simon's apparent conversion was sensational. It would have made the morning news or made the headlines of the paper. We probably would have even gotten a text on that or a news blurb when Simon accepted Christ. Simon the magician had been watching. When he saw the change that was brought about in people's lives through the Holy Spirit, he considered that to be the greatest thing that he had ever seen. Imagine if he had been around at the resurrection. But perhaps his background in magic made him think that this was a powerful trick or a gift that could be purchased. He had to pay for his other tricks by which he had impressed and amazed the nation, so he was ready for the disciples to name their price. Luke, in writing in the book of Acts, says he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." So we need to think about for a few moments this morning, how do we interpret Simon's request? It's apparent that Simon's conversion was not very deep. He professed faith. He had been baptized. He could use the right words. But in his heart, there was very little difference from the Simon after baptism from the Simon before baptism. And his life did not look very different than before his conversion. We must wonder about what Simon really heard, what message he heard from Philip. At least Simon recognized that something important was happening and didn't brush it off. He knew the reality and recognized the power of the Holy Spirit. And even though his level of understanding may have been crude, his offer says, "You may not see it, but there's something there." So what did the apostles Peter and John say to Simon after he made his offer? They told him the Holy Spirit was not for sale. There are some things we just cannot buy. We cannot purchase God's grace, or God's love, or God's peace. We can buy a house, but we cannot buy a home. We can buy companionship, but not love. We can purchase drugs, but not joy. Some things are not for sale. People who recognize the reality of the Holy Spirit often want to assure their control. They don't want to relinquish everything. We see this in the hundreds of little sect groups that refuse to participate in the ecumenical movement. Their claim to have the truth, the Holy Spirit, which can only be received their way by their doctrine. Simon, the magician or sorcerer, has his followers in the religious wilderness today. People who profit and grow rich from the emotional and spiritual hunger of seeking people. The Holy Spirit is not limited to certain denominations. The Spirit is not for sale. It cannot be controlled by human beings. This reminds me of the following story. Every day, just outside a small village in India, an old man sat cross-legged, stirring ordinary dirt mixed with water in an old pot. After hours of stirring, he reached into the pot and pulled out a large nugget of gold. Day after day, people watched him sit and stir, and they waited for the moment when he would reach for the gold nugget. When he pulled it out, they would murmur with amazement. One day, a brazen young man approached the old man and asked, "Will you show me how you do this trick?" "Certainly," the old man replied. "It is not difficult. All I have here is an ordinary pot, a simple stick, dirt that you can find anywhere, and water from the town well. I pour the dirt and the water into the pot and begin to stir. After a while, a lump of gold forms, and I reach in and I remove it." Immediately, the young man found a pot, a stick, some dirt, and a small bucket of water. He poured the dirt and the water into the pot and began to stir. He stirred all day long, stopping frequently to see if the gold had begun to form. He continued stirring the next day, all the way into the evening. But no matter how long he stirred, no gold nugget could be seen. Not even a tiny one, not even a fragment of gold. Finally, he went back to the old man for further instructions. "Tell me step by step what you've been doing," the old man replied politely. Quickly, the young man recounted everything he had done. When he finished, the old master thought for a moment. "It seems I neglected to include one important detail," he said. "While you stir, you must never think about the gold." Anytime we try to use God to achieve our own ends and purposes, we need to change. We need to turn around. We need to repent and move in a new direction. Anytime we try to control or direct God's Spirit, we need to repent and change our direction. For God is the Lord. God loves us and seeks our love, the love of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God seeks to lead and direct and change us. God is not a toy or a trick, a servant or a drug to get us high. For God is the Lord. We are called by the New Testament teachings to turn from all trust in magic and sorcery. No magic money or magic trip or person or possession will solve our deepest problems. By trusting in these types of things, we try to use God to multiply our cleverness and power. And we move further and further away from God, It's like that man stirring that pot of muddy water and thinking all the time, oh, that gold's going to come, that gold's going to come. No. Think about something else. And then it comes. For magic is our effort to use anything to satisfy our real needs and wants without having God at the center of our lives. Instead of magic, we are called to trust, to accept a mystery, the mystery of God's existence, which we cannot prove. The mystery of God's love revealed upon the cross. The mystery of God's presence within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When we focus on magic or even perform magical acts, we are focusing and centering on ourselves. But faith, real faith, is to turn from our magic to trust in the miracle of God's love, the mystery of God's Holy Spirit that is present with us. The miracle and mystery of God's love rather than the magic of humans becomes the center of our lives. This is part of what is meant by the word repent, change our ways, to turn around from the path we are on and to journey toward God. The other word that's involved is the word pray. Simon was willing to pray for God's power. Peter was saying, in effect, you can't buy it. It comes only to the changed life. Life is changed through believing prayer. Prayer is the point of contact we have. It's the channel through which the miracle and the mystery of God's love enters into our lives. Now, prayer is not magic, not a way to manipulate God. True prayer brings our lives in line with God's great plans and purposes for our lives and others. There are always people who are looking for magic rather than miracle. They pray in order to make God do what they want God to do, whereas true prayer is the surrender of our wills to the will of God, so that humans will do what God wants them to do. Likewise, there are always people who think that they can see religion and use religion for their own purposes. People cannot buy religion any more than they can buy love. Religion, like love, is an end in itself. It cannot be sought in order to make them well, or to make them happy, or to make them prosperous. It can be sought only for itself. But once found, it overflows in byproducts of health and happiness and prosperity. It cannot be manipulated or controlled by personal desires. Those who claim to have such control are pretenders. They often have a large following, and the only thing that can stop them is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus has already paid the price for our salvation, and therefore his Spirit is not for sale. The Holy Spirit is freely given to us. We need only to repent and to pray. May each of us seek God's Spirit this day, and let us pray together. Holy God, forgive us if we become enamored with others, great as they may be, and do not dedicate our lives and our loyalties to Jesus Christ through his Spirit. Excuse our enthusiasm for lesser luminaries, the gods of our passing age, whose fascination and fame may distract us from following Jesus with undivided devotion. Continually remind us, O Lord, of his great sacrifice and the price that was paid for our salvation. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is "Because He Lives," number 256.
Amen.
by faith, placing tomorrow in God's hands. And we lean toward the promise of things not yet seen. Go forth to embrace the future, empowered by the steadfast love of God, peace of Jesus Christ, and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.